Well, I want to talk today on the topic, whoever has ears ought to hear. Whoever has ears ought to hear. Now, you might think that it's an interesting expression. You might think, well, it's pretty obvious if you have ears, you can hear. But it really isn't that obvious, because just because some noise or sound is impacting your tympanic membrane in your eardrum doesn't really mean you're paying any attention. For example, if I were to stop for a minute, you would hear the droning of the compressors off in the distance. And that's been going on all through Mass, but you paid no mind to it. And that's good. You filter out meaningless things. But I just want you to know that we can do the same thing right now. While I'm up here talking, you can be thinking about, you know, the shopping list or who you're going to get to clean the swimming pool or, you know, whatever, you know. It's very possible for us to be, even as God's word is being proclaimed, to be have our mind be somewhere else. Whoever has ears, says the Lord, ought to hear. Now, I want to celebrate with you today the power of the Word of God. And the Lord wants to teach us today that the Word of God has a power to completely transform us. However, there is this possibility that the very Word of God could be spoken to us, but our mind is somewhere else. Now, let's get into these readings then, and let's take a little bit of a look at, first of all, the power of the Word of God. Because the Word of God has a power within it. Now, what is that power? Well, I want to remind you of what the first reading said today. And the first reading was a very powerful description of the power of the Word of God. Now listen to what it said. It said that just as from the heavens the rain and the snow come down, and they do not return to the heavens until they first watered the earth, so it shall be with my word. Now just to be clear, the rain comes down, and it soaks into the earth, and it's then taken up by the plants, by the human beings on this planet, and it produces an abundant fruit in all these different creatures. And the Lord is saying, I want you to know my word can do that in your life. My word comes down into your heart like dew from above. And if you will attend to it, it can bring forth an enormous fruit in your life. It can change you. It can transform you. If it can utterly transform your entire life. If we authentically will listen to the Word of God, it will refresh us, it will bring forth the fruit of transformation. No one can attentively listen to God's Word and go away unchanged. If we listen to God's Word with any alertness, it can open our minds to new realities. It can give us new hope, can teach us the fundamental meaning of our life. It can instruct us. It can thrill us. It can frighten us. It can make us wonder. It can make us repent. It can make us rejoice. It can transform us. Church, the Bible can make you mad, it can make you sad, or it can make you glad. But if you read the scriptures with attention, you cannot come away simply neutral or unchanged. The Word of God, if we attend to it, will change our very life. It's pretty hard to go away from scripture unchanged. You know, I'm mindful of a whole series of scriptures from the prophets, and I'm mindful, first of all, of something that actually goes back to the letter of the Hebrews, which says that the Word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It enters into the human person. It penetrates to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. Oh, church, the Scripture can step on your toes. The Scripture can make you think. God said to Jeremiah one day, he said, Jeremiah, is not my word like fire? And is not my word like a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces? Oh, my word is a fire within you. And Jeremiah himself responded one day, telling the people who told him to be silent, and Jeremiah said, I will not, if I were to say I will not mention God anymore or speak his name, his word in my heart will become like a fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. I cannot. Church, is the word of God like a fire inside your bones? Is the word of God just inside like a fire and transforming you, so that you just got to run up to someone's sleeve and tell them what God has just told you? Oh, church, I've seen some sleepy souls in here today. The word of God, I could just tell you for myself, the word of God is like a fire shut up in my bones. And if I don't speak, I'll just burn away. Yes, church, the Jeremiah went on to say, or shall I say here again, he said, my heart within me is pounding. I cannot keep silence, for I have heard the sound of the trumpet of God's word. Indeed, he cries out like a trumpet himself. And I think that Amos said, the lion has roared, who will not fear? And the sovereign Lord has spoken, and who cannot but prophesy? The apostles joined that great company of preachers and prophets, and they themselves said in Acts chapter 4, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Are you that way with the Word of God? Do you read it so attentively that it sets you on fire? So that you've got to run to somebody and tell them? Oh, church, pray for fiery preachers. I said, pray for fiery preachers. I said that we, and you yourself are to be among that great band of preachers, not just those of us who stand up in pulpits, but you at the pulpit of your dinner table, you at the pulpit of your living room when your young teenager comes and asks you some questions or challenges your authority or in some way is looking for consolation or encouragement, and suddenly the word of God is in you like a fire shut up in your bones, and you've got to just preach and encourage and teach your children. I pray that you will pray for fiery preachers, because, church, the Word of God can utterly transform this world. God wants to set us on fire so that this world will be set on fire. Are you praying with me this morning? So God's Word, effectively preached, God's Word thoughtfully attended to, is a fire that is meant to transform us. Is a fire, and it has of itself a power to transform. But that leads us again to what the Lord says in the title of this message, anyone who has ears ought to hear. But that does not mean that everybody who does have ears does hear. And so it is that the Lord wants to call to our attention some of the problems. Some of the problems that come up with the Word of God being active and powerful in our life. Now listen, there is nothing unpowerful about the Word of God itself. I promise you that. I promise you. God said, let there be light. There was light. God's Word is powerful. But you see, God speaks to inanimate creation, and it has to obey. If God says to this mountain, move, mountain. The mountain melts like wax before God. Oh, yes, church. And God said to the proud ocean, this far shall your waves come and no further. And the oceans obey him. The wind and the sea obey him. But when it comes to the human person, God, by his own permission, has put a fence around our heart and permitted us to say no to his word. To inanimate creation, it must obey. You and I are called to love, and love must be free. It cannot be forced. And so God says, He speaks, and we have a choice to make. We will either listen with attentiveness and obey, or we will say to God, nay, no. And so the Word of God is powerful of itself. But because of the human person and because of the freedom that we've been given, there are problems that can come up with us in seeing that powerful Word of God have its full effect. So let's look at some of the things that Jesus mentions to us, of some of those problems, if you will, that can arise that of themselves will shield us, if you will, or make us refuse some of that power of God's Word. Now, the first thing that the Lord mentions is simply rejection itself. He goes on at some length and he says this. He says, there are some who look but will not see, who hear but will not listen or understand. The text says, gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes lest they see. They see and their ears lest they hear or understand so that I could heal them. The Lord says, there are some who have simply rejected my word and my presence in their life. They have simply made an absolute no to me. Now, I want to say there's a word here that doesn't very much help us in English. It says here, gross is the heart of this people. And I said, that's got, let me look up the Greek. So the Greek here is, that's not a gross, that has a lot of weird overtones in English. The word here in Greek, pachuno, means literally to have a heart that is hard or thick. So in other words, the Lord is saying there are some who have hardened their hearts against me. They've simply hardened their hearts. Now, look, we all struggle with some of this. In fact, I was laughing as I looked up some text yesterday and one of my favorite texts is from Isaiah. You know, God once observed through Isaiah in the 48th chapter, he was speaking to Isaiah about us, namely the human family. And God says this. He says that, I know that you are obstinate and that your neck is an iron sinew and your forehead is made of brass. Come on, church, that's just another way of saying the Lord says to us, I know that you're stubborn, that you're hard-headed, you're like bronze, and nothing gets through your thick skull. It's all right to laugh at ourselves a little, amen? We all have a little bit of this tendency. We can be a little stubborn and stiff-necked. We can have kind of a thick skull and sort of tiptoe around, and we don't want to know the answer. Anyone ever, you know, ask not, lest ye be answered, you know? I don't want to ask God that. And so again, there is this tendency, but listen, church, for many of us, this tendency to be stiff-necked and stubborn, it gradually can be softened by the power of God's grace and by the medicine of the sacrament, by instruction in God's word. So God has a way of, if you will, helping us with this general human tendency. So we all have a little bit of it, but what the Lord is talking about here are some who, for whatever reason, their stubbornness never abates. In fact, it grows worse as they get older. And as they descend further and further into pride, an increasing hard-heartedness sets up. And as that descent gets deeper and deeper, the truth becomes obnoxious. And it's not just that they're uninterested in the truth, now they hate the truth. It's not so much that, if you will, they're resisting the truth, they're outright hostile to it. And we see a lot of this today in our world, as people increasingly grow not just indifferent to Jesus, but downright hostile to anything considered traditional or Christian. And we need to be aware of this because it's going to get tougher. There are many, many people today in our culture, in America, and throughout the West who are hardening their hearts against God and against religion. There's a militant, an increasingly militant atheism that's setting up. Now, I'm not going to say that every atheist has simply hardened their hearts. Some people are struggling with hurt or anger at God. Some people have experienced any number of things, but there are some among those who refuse to believe who have simply hardened their hearts. And the Lord says, look, they have eyes, but they don't want to see. And they have ears, but they close their ears, lest they hear. They close their eyes, lest they see. They don't want to know. And if you try to tell them, they'll simply be hostile. See? And the Lord says, listen, the Word of God is not going to have much of an effect. You can quote the Bible to someone like that, and it's like casting your pearls before swine. They just trample it underfoot. We have to just be aware that there are some who have hardened their hearts. Now, we don't give up on anyone. Are you praying with me? We never presume that they've completely closed their heart. But the Lord does teach us that there are some who have simply outright rejected the Word of God. And it's not going to have much power in their life. And again, God respects a person's freedom to say a definitive no to Him. Now, the Lord goes on, though, to talk about a number of other ways, if you will, that the Word of God doesn't have its full effect in us. It's not so much about those who have absolutely rejected God, but there are some other things that happen among those who, although they haven't rejected God, don't particularly give the Word of God the kind of attention it deserves. And he goes on and talks about these. So we've seen the problem of rejection. Now the Lord goes on to talk about the problem of a lack of reflection. He says here that there's a seed, for example, that's sown on the path. And that's the one who hears the Word of God, but without understanding it, and the evil one comes and takes away what was sown in his heart. Now here too, I said to myself, there's something wrong here with the translation. So I went to look at the Greek text. And the Greek text here, you know, the way the English comes across it, there's some guy that reads the Bible and says, well, gee, I can't quite figure this out, and the poor guy, and then Satan comes and just takes it away, as though the guy was just a victim, see? He didn't have a teacher. But listen, that's not really what the text is saying. The text says more in the Greek that this is the type of a person who reads the Word, but just doesn't reflect much on it. They don't, and the Greek word here is it means to synthesize. It means to connect the dots. It means to reflect at a deeper level on something that you've heard. And so it is that it's possible to just say, okay, I'm going to do my daily devotion. Here we go. We just read and we say, oh, wasn't that lovely? And we close the book and we say, now what's on TV today? Now, that is not a very deep or reflective reading of God's Word, is it? See, and there are some people who want to go to church and get a 7-minute sermon, which just has a little thought for the day, and most of the Word of God just goes unattended. Now, you may still want a 7-minute sermon, but but you see, the idea is that we need to spend a little time with God's Word, and we need to really connect the dots between what is being said in the text and what's happening in our lives. And when we do that, it begins to take deeper roots in us. But the problem is the unreflective reading. The person who reads, but as this translation says, without understanding. In other words, without trying to reflect on the deeper meanings of this text for them in their life. Someone who reads without connecting any of the dots. All right. So you see, this is the first problem. Now, if you want to read the scripture, it's not like a magic show. Oh, I just read a passage of scripture. I must be changed. Well, I guess somehow, maybe deep down inside, I've been changed. Now let me see what's on TV. Well, it doesn't work quite that way. We need to have a deep reflectiveness, a prayerful attentiveness as we read God's Word. Are you praying with me? Are you attending to this message? All right. Now, so we see the problem then of rejection. And we see the problem of a lack of reflection. And then we next see the problem of rootlessness. Jesus goes on to say, the seed that is sown on rocky ground is the person who hears the word and receives it for a moment with joy, but he doesn't allow it to have any root, so it lasts only for a time. And when some tribulation or persecution comes, he immediately falls away. All right. The image here again is of, and let's say, a plant that puts down a little bit of roots. So this is a person who's read the word, they've reflected a little bit on it, but not very much. And it doesn't really have any roots. So when some tribulation comes because of the word, they're gone. They don't last. Now let me give you a couple of examples. First of all, you remember that old spiritual? It says, some go to church for to sing and shout. Before 6 months, they's all turned out. Now you see, some folks say, I'm gonna go to church and I'm gonna hear a word. And they go and the preacher's all revved up and he's excited and the choir's on their game. And oh, that was exciting, man. What a great church, and I'm coming back next week. And the next week, the preacher goes and then he has another good time and he's saying hallelujah. But then all of a sudden, he comes into church and the preacher steps on his toes. You see, the Lord says, you see, they accept the word of God with joy, but then some tribulation or some trouble comes on account of the word and they're gone. So the preacher steps on his toes. He says, you know, you got no business living with your girlfriend, he says to the congregation. Oops, what's he telling me that for? I'm offended. And he's out of there, see? Or the preacher says something that troubles him, or the Lord in the scripture says something that challenges him and tells him he needs to do a little bit more than just show up and get happy. Are you praying with me? You see, it's possible to have some of our favorite text. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures, and then you hear another passage. The Lord says, unless you'll take up your cross and follow after me, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you renounce all your possessions. What? I don't want to hear all that. I don't come to church to be challenged. I come to be consoled. Don't step on my toe. So you see the idea. Here's someone who, they come and initially have joy with the word, but then the word challenges them, makes them a little uncomfortable, and all of a sudden they want to leave. Some go to church for to sing and shout. Before 6 months, they's all turned out. Because you see, eventually the preacher's going to have to take up something where he talks about sin. Uh-oh, sin. And he calls it sin. He doesn't just call it an issue. All right. So you see, the Lord points out that there's a problem that can come up that some just outright reject God's word. And some fail to properly reflect on God's word. And some are rootless. That is to say, they don't let the word of God go a little deeper into their life. They just want to have it be on the surface, be something to be happy about, but they don't want it to go deeper and ask them to look at some of those attitudes of sin and those attitudes of struggles that they need to address. Now, you see, there's also the problem then of what we're going to call ripples. The Lord says here, the seed sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxieties choke it off. Now here too, the word anxieties in the Greek, it can mean anxiety, but it really means more distractions. Distractions. Now come on, church. Isn't that one of the biggest problems we face today? You got your cell phone going. You got the faxes coming in. You got the email. You got the Facebook. You got the Twitter. You got the, well, you get the point, right? And so you're trying to get a little time to reflect on God's word, and off goes the cell phone. Or you're trying to, do some deeper praying and reflecting, and all of a sudden, you know, Lord knows, something else comes up. And again, we live in very complicated and busy lives. But listen, church, listen. The Lord is saying, don't let this world choke off your spiritual life. Don't let it happen. It'll be like ivy. It'll just completely cover you and choke off all your life. It is a danger for all of us that we follow the priority of the urgent rather than the priority of the important. And we let the urgent eclipse what's really important. And we run around putting out fires instead of trying to learn how to prevent fires. You see the vision? If you will not take time, and I will not take time to pray and to reflect on God's word, this world will consume us. It will utterly take every bit of oxygen we own and say, pay attention to me. Over and over again, the world itself gets its hooks into us, it distracts us, it annoys us, and we just want more and more of it. It becomes like an addiction. And the Lord says, listen, you've got to draw apart. And you've got to understand something. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy to God. God becomes your enemy because he's saying, come apart from that. And you say, no, this is all I want. It's all here. This is where I'm interested in being. And so again, it is very, very important for us to realize that this world, if you let it, and I let it, will completely use up all the oxygen in my life. We're either going to allow some time for God, or we're not. But we have a decision to make. And if you want the Word of God to be powerful in your life, you need to take time every day, so do I, and just sit down and prayerfully read it. Not just quick rush through a daily devotion, but really sit down, spend some time, attend to it, reflect on it, and I promise you, it will change your life. But we got to put in the time. The final thing that the Lord says to us as a danger is he mentions riches. You see, some outright reject the Word of God. Some simply fail to reflect very deeply on it. Others, although they reflect, get offended by it and they go away. Some just allow the ripples, the distractions of daily life to eclipse any real time with God's Word. And some allow riches to divide their heart. Pay attention, church. Pay attention. The Bible warns that the love of money is at the root of just about every evil. You know, the Lord says something very important. He says, look, you know where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And if your treasure is this world and its riches and its pleasures and its power and its popularity, if that's where your heart, if that's where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. You got to come to me and say, Lord, help me. Look, this is a big one, church. We just got to get on our knees and say, Lord, I don't even know how to start with this one. Lord, give me a new heart. Riches have a powerful way of dividing our heart, dividing them. St. Paul says to Timothy, he says, people who want to get rich fall into a terrible temptation, indeed a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. The love of money is at the root of all kinds of evil, and some people, eager for money, have wandered away from God and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now again, I'm not telling you don't need money. We all need money. We got to negotiate this world. We got to pay some of our bills. We got to get our kids an education. It's one thing to use money. It's one thing to own money. It's another thing to be owned by it. And that's what begins to happen to us. When we allow the riches of this world to begin to dominate our heart, we become enslaved to them. And our heart can't be open to God's Word. You know why? Because we've got too much to lose. Too much to lose. Say, Lord, give me a simple heart. Help me to know, Lord, that you alone are enough for me. And that whatever else I need in this world, I'll use it, but it's not mine anyway. I'll make use of it, but I'm not going to become enslaved to it. If I have a lot of it, fine. If I don't, fine. All I want is you. You see, that's the kind of heart that's necessary for the Word of God to really begin to take deep root in us. So the Lord is trying to teach us today, my Word is powerful. It is powerful. If you will let it into your heart, it will utterly transform you. But there are some things for you to be aware of that can happen in the human person that limit the power of my Word. Not because the Word isn't powerful, but because I've allowed you freedom. And they are basically these. Some just outright reject me. Some simply fail to read in a reflective way. Some, they reflect, but they're rootless, because when any trouble comes up regarding my Word, they're out of there. Others just allow ripples, the distractions of life, to completely dominate them. And others allow riches to destroy their heart so that they're no longer hungry for my Word because they're filled up with the things of this world. So the Lord asks us to reflect. And I just want to then conclude with a reiteration of this basic point. The Word of God is powerful and it can produce in your life. And I want you to know something. I said I, am a witness, and I pray I'm not alone in this church, that I am not the only witness in this church, that the Word of God can change who I am, can make me a better man, a better woman, that the Lord Himself, by His Word, can utterly transform. Because the Lord says here, all these things I said about the struggles that people have, that's not about you. Blessed are your eyes because they do see. And blessed are your ears because they do hear. And many a prophet and many a priest in the ancient world longed to see what you see and to hear what you hear, but they didn't. But blessed are your eyes because they do see and your ears because they do hear. And the Lord is saying basically, you know all that bad stuff I was talking about? That's not about you, is it? Is it? Is it? Blessed are your eyes. And if you will begin to grow in an appreciation for my word, attend to it, and read it reflectively, I promise you, says the Lord, a bumper crop of 30-fold, of 60-fold, of 100-fold, that your life can be changed by the word of God. Anyone here having your life changed by the word of God? Is there a witness in here that more and more as you've reflected on God's Word, as you come to Holy Mass hungry for His Word, as you've done your daily devotions with attentiveness, that Word is beginning to change the way you think, change your priorities, help you to make better decisions, help you to, if you will, walk in a whole new way, that Word is ordering your steps? Oh, Lord, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day. Send your anointing. Father, I pray, order my steps in your word. Church, there is a power in God's word. He's changing my life by it. I know He's changing many of your lives. Church, there's a power. Be careful of the problems. Attend to them. Be aware of them. Name them. See their moves. But let the Lord set you free and give you a word that will change your life. Amen.